Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm so excited to be talking today with Janice Strand. She's a yoga teacher from Norway and also the yoga studio owner and general manager of B Yoga Studio in Oslo, Norway. She is also a YogaWorks certified teacher trainer, and she's assisted over 600 hours of YogaWorks teacher training. She's completed so many additional trainings herself with some of the most incredible yoga teachers around the world. I'm so excited to talk with her more about her trainings and her passions and even her Tibetan Buddhism studies. So let's dive in. Janice, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So to get started, how about we talk about how yoga came into your life, how you first got started on the path of yoga?
Oh my God. That's a story, actually. Yeah. So it was in 2001. I did have a hard life. I have to say that. I actually were living on the edge all the time, like always partying and always going the hardcore life. And I was really tired. My body was tired. My whole self was tired. And I couldn't find joy in anything anymore. And then I always walked past a yoga studio, and that was Tibetan monks that had this studio. It was a really small little studio, and I could see always happy, beautiful people coming in and out, and they were always smiling, and I was always looking happy, and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing in there? I was having this urge to just one day, I have to go in there and see and talk to them. And then I started. It was a beautiful studio. It was super cheap. I think the first like new beginning course they had, it cost around $40. And it was, I think, 8 times to go continuing training there or continuing courses and come to classes. It cost $20. And then you didn't have to pay anymore. It was actually like $20 for the rest of your life. That was one like salary.
That's amazing. It's so yeah, cheap.
And it was very strange. Like it was only love. You got your own mantra. You can have like private talk to the monks or the teachers. Every Friday was always vegetarian food. And I just loved to stay there. But they, of course, was bankrupt. They didn't have money to pay the rent because they didn't earn money and they didn't ask for money. And I was so sad that no one stepped in there, but it was sad. So I was a little alone for a long time in my yoga world. I wasn't that many studios in Oslo at that time. And I tried to find my studio and I went to different places, but I couldn't find it. And then suddenly one day I found Ashtanga teacher, and I fell in love with Ashtanga, and I went all the way to teach Ashtanga as well. And I was doing that for a long time. And then I met YogaWorks because I had the feeling that I missed something in my Ashtanga teaching to say the words, like how to do things. And then from YogaWorks, it was all the other trainings. Oh my God, it's actually, sometimes I'm a little embarrassed when I see my list, but I'm feeling like the student that never stop. I just love to learn like forever.
Oh yeah. I feel the same way, that it's just their yoga is so infinite that I don't think we'll ever be done learning.
Never, never.
And there's so many different branches. And yes, as you've done trainings in chakras and bandhas and mudras and yin and anatomy and acro. It's like, it just keeps expanding and growing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that something you're really passionate about also is incorporating yoga in your daily life or in daily life in general. So can you talk to me more about that?
Yeah, I think I'm one of those. Yeah, I think we are many that's been running hardcore life, like I said, from early, like in 2001. But I also, like, in the middle of my yoga path, I had, I think maybe 1.5 years that I didn't do any practice at all. I didn't work like 100% as a yoga teacher at that time. I pushed myself in so many directions with my family, and it was a lot of things that happened there. And it was a lot of things that happened in my work and the company I worked in. And I really hit the bottom. Like, I actually was sick for 6 months, and I was only lying in my bed. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I had the curtains together, and my partner had to help me with everything. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed, I don't know if you say the same in America, but it's like happy pills.
Oh, yeah. Antidepressants?
Yeah, antidepressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were really strong. And I felt like I got anxiety of taking the pills. So I went back to the doctor, and she said to me, like, you have to take these pills to get rid of the anxiety. So you have to take this pill for the antidepressive or for the depression. And then you have to take these pills for the anxiety. And I was like, I was screaming at the doctor. I was like, what is this? I can't do this. I can't do this. This is horrible. And then we had this long talk, and she said to me, I know about some psychologist that has this project. If you want to, I can contact them and so see if you can come in right away, because it is a long way to wait for a psychologist, or else you can go to a private, but it's super expensive to go to a private psychologist here in Norway. So when I went to this psychologist, we were talking together, and I noticed, like, maybe the second time or third time, that, hey, this is yoga philosophy. Like, what we are talking about here is actually like what we are learning from the philosophy in yoga. And I was really like, hey, I don't need you anymore. I told the psychiatrist that I actually don't need you anymore. I have to start practicing yoga again. Like, I need to go back. And that's when I understand that yoga is a lifestyle in every way. It's all about the mind. So many think that is a physical practice. I am 100% that is so much about the mind stuff. And that's when I think it's so important to bring yoga more into the daily life. Like, how are you living? How are you living in, like, the true self? Are you doing what you are supposed to do? Are you actually honest to yourself?
Yeah, I think that's amazing that after saying no to the doctors, saying, no, I'm not doing more drugs, more pills, saying, and then getting in with a psychiatrist and realizing, oh, this is actually yoga. This is yoga philosophy. And this is how I can process these emotions, or I can be present with these emotions and understand myself and gain more clarity through the practice and not just the asana practice. I like how you mentioned it's philosophy, but I know there's so much in meditation and pranayama and all the other elements that really are psychological therapy in ways.
And yeah, also like seeing it, like, you know, what I do feel like the first time when I started with yoga is that pause, that break, that pause between reacting to things, like this, where you stop and you see what is actually happening. That's what I fell in love with yoga. That's why I'm like felt, oh, I actually can stop myself from going straight into drama and make everything like crazy. I have to tell you, it was a really cool thing. We were fixing into our, we have a basement, and we were taking everything out to to make a new basement and fixing everything. And I found some old diaries, like journals from when I was starting. And it said, it was so cool. It was like in the middle of a sentence or middle of a paragraph or what do you call it. And it said, oh my God, and yoga. I found yoga. And this was in 2001. And it said, I found yoga. I'm so happy. I've never, ever felt like this before. And then it said, if I read this and I have stopped with yoga, if I read this in many years, like many years from now, and I have stopped doing yoga, you have to start right away. You are stupid if you have stopped with yoga. You have to stop now.
Yes, it is amazing how when we can forget how powerful yoga is, yeah, if it's not a part of our daily lives. And I know for me, yoga has ebbed and flowed in my life because I've been practicing yoga for over half of my life. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, we'll say quarter of that, it just ebbed practicing every day or four times a week for 6 months, and then not practicing with the teacher for another 6 months. So there's been periods where I've come out and away from it and then come back in. And it always is that remembrance of all that yoga brings when we do have it present in our lives and all the gifts it gives and how it's like a pebble in a pond, just the ripples.
Yes. Yes. That's it. I think that's the reason why I do have that passion about bringing yoga into the daily life, like always have that ripple effect with everything you do, like people you talk to and people feel. Actually, when you are practicing yoga, you are a light spreader, like you are spreading some light around here. And especially now, I think it's more important than ever, be those people.
Yeah, now more than ever. Yeah, the world needs these bright lights that remind us of the things that we've forgotten or bring the humanity back into some of the aspects of the world. It's just amazing how dehumanizing a lot of the media can be, or the news, or alarmist, or there's just so many elements where it's how it's certainly gotten pretty bad.
But also, I'm talking to so many people that are seeing a lot of like only the negative, like they are the only thing they are writing about in their social media or talking about to friends or family. It's the negativity in the world. And I do believe that when you talk about negative things and only see the negative things, that's what you feel. That's what you will become, I have to say. But if we do try to see more of the positive thing, I'm not saying that we're going to be like spiritual bypassing and, oh, everything is so happy and everything is so good. That's not what I'm saying. But it's more like trying to lift up the things that are good, trying to find the good things and trying to see the good things in people and try to show them that they are good as well. And
trying to show people that they are good as well. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so with your students in your studio, since you're a studio owner, how do you think that you're helping your students to see this?
I think yoga is helping them. So it's not me. We are just sharing yoga and then they will see it themselves.
Yeah, there's no greater teacher than ourselves.
No, it is true. And I feel when what I did have a passion about, it was, and I still do, is to have that place, a community, to bring people together, to have the opportunity to, you know, share and see, be allowed to be themselves in every way. We have a lot of actually celebrities coming to the studio, and they always say, because we have my studio, I always wanted to have a studio that wasn't only Lululemon, but also not only like hippie and very out there. So I wanted to find a middle, try to have a studio that the people that wanted to have those cool pants and want to be fashionista, and still also those with hippie pants and dreads, that they also could feel like comfortable. So the people that are more the celebrity side of people, they always say that when they come to my studio or our studio, they feel that they can not wear makeup and come a day when they really feel like crap. Everything is, they just want to cry. And they don't feel that in so many studios elsewhere. Because yoga has been becoming a little fashion.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for studio owners to honor the students and let them have that breakdown in the studio. And that's okay. If they want to like just come in with the hair in a messy way and no makeup and just come and go and not talk, that is okay. And if they want to come like super makeup and want to talk to everyone, that is okay. So I think everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. It's all okay. It's all welcome. Everyone is welcome.
Everyone.
And you can be exactly who you are today. We do change. We aren't the same, and we shouldn't hold ourselves to the same standards every single day of being the same or feeling the same. And I think it's amazing that you've cultivated this space where everyone just feels safe.
Yeah. I think every studio owner, I hope like that this will be what yoga is, a place where you can come home. That I want people to have that feeling when they come to the studio.
I love it. And so we've talked a little bit about your studio, but I'd love to get the bird's eye view of what is yoga in Norway. Has it been really popular for a long time, or is it just in Oslo where there's studios? I'd love to hear more.
No, it's everywhere. Yoga is in every part of Norway. It's been spreading like wild.
All right. Okay. So yoga is everywhere, as you said, spread like wildfire. Is it popular with a certain age group or just with women, or is it everybody is starting to realize the benefits? Maybe doctors are prescribing it for insomnia or back pain. Like kind of what level is it at, would you say?
Yeah. In our studio, it's actually like a lot of doctors. We have as students in the studio, and physiotherapists and psychologists and chiropractor and osteopath, and it's a lot of therapists and health medicine people in our studio, and they are doing, like you said, they are prescribing it to their patients, like yoga. And I think it's so cool that it's actually becoming more and more allowed, because when I started to practice yoga, it was kind of like the weird people were practicing yoga. And I felt like it's been maybe, I think, for 10 years ago, it really started to boom like big time.
Okay, so it was booming 10 years ago, and now it sounds like it's still very popular.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It is the pandemic. It was crazy. Like when everything stopped and everything closed down, the students, they wanted to pay still for the membership to just keep the studio open. So it's, and I know that happened in many different studios in Oslo. And I think that shows how much people really wanted to have the studio also after the pandemic was finished.
Oh, yeah. The pandemic changed so much, didn't it? But that's amazing. Your students were like, we want to still support. We don't want the studio to close down. How long did you have to close down for?
Oh, my God. I think the longest period, it was different because it closed down and then it opened and then it closed down and then it opened. And the longest we had closed down, it was 10 months. But we did go online, but a lot of the students, they weren't comfortable to be online, but a lot of them were, but still they continued to pay. And I loved, it was a student that she contacted me, I have to say, because it was so cool. And I love the way she said it, because she said to me like, hey, I can see that I haven't been, my card hasn't been withdrawn for 3 months. So I have to come in so you can fix it. And so I can pay for the membership. And when I met her in the studio, she said to me like, or I said to her, like, hi, my God, I think it's so cool that you actually are doing this, that you really want me to support the studio, and I'm so happy that you're doing this. And she stopped me and she said to me, like, Janice, I just have to say, I'm doing it for you, yeah, but it's actually not only for you. It's because I want to be selfish. I love the studio so much, and I can't think of anything worse if this studio goes away. And it's for me because it's my health. I need this studio to survive.
Wow, that's so generous and amazing. And I love that. I just love hearing that, Janice.
Yeah, but it's not generous. So it's generous, yes, but it was also for herself. It's kind of like she knew, and that's I think many people forget sometimes when you really want to keep something, you have to support it. If you want something, it doesn't need to be a yoga studio. It can be like your favorite cafe or your favorite clothes or I don't know. But you have to support them. Like, it's talk about them, buy from them, send people there if they are talking about asking for recommendation. It's so important.
Absolutely. And that she was able to see it past herself, past the lens of just say, I can't imagine this studio going away. Like, she could see that it's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also always ask every guest on the episode this question. It's, what is your personal definition of yoga?
For me, I've seen so many sides of yoga. I have to say, it's actually funny because me and my friend, also a yoga teacher, we said to each other, yoga should come with a warning, like this big cross, like warning, because you do see yourself. You need to, or you are learning more and more about yourself and you can't run away anymore. Like, you have to just do it. But when you are starting to see yourself, when I'm talking for myself and feel like the way of becoming yourself in so many ways, like I feel I've changed, but I feel also more like myself. I don't know if I'm talking away this in a crazy way now, because it's, like I said, it's a big question, but I do feel it takes away the clouds. It takes away the clouds and make it clearer so you can see more. That's what yoga is for me.
Yeah, it's like that Buddhist story of the looking in the mirror and the mirror being very dirty and then slowly cleaning off the mirror so we can actually see ourselves clearly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's yoga definitely does that.
Yes. And that's why I also say, like, it should come with a warning, because you do see that, okay, I also do have these things, and what do I do with this? And it's also very exciting. I think that's why it's a lifelong path, because it's, and also like you said, it's always changing, but still you are that in the middle there that is never changing. It's changing, but still I feel like, okay, now it's clutter and something is like, why is it cluttering me now? And often that's when I have not been taking care of myself. For example, staying up too late or not having that regular practice on my mat, or hanging out with maybe some people that's too negative. I can see what's happening. And I think that is also so cool when you starting to see yourself so clear that you also see when you start to get muddy again.
Yeah, it's like the more that we know, the less that we know. And the more that we see clearly, the more messy everything seems. Or it's like you think, oh, I'm so good at meditating. Oh, I'm so good at yoga. And then all of a sudden you have an epiphany and you realize, actually, not at all.
But the thing is, I think that happened after I took the training in India with Jessica Sharsan. Because I did go all the way. It was a yoga therapy training. And in this training, we are pushed to the limit, because what we are learning is that if you don't know your true self, like really know yourself and how you are reacting to things and what's your triggers, you can't work with others, because then you will just have your mirror and you will always reflect the other person in a kind of a, you're taking your things into that person. When a person is talking to you, you are reacting from your perspective, and then you don't see clearly. In this training, it was a 3 years training, and we had to really go into the deepest of our traumas and our darkest things, like really seeing the shadow in your life, and you couldn't hide, like you have to go into everything. And I was like shocked that I actually did have so much. I was like, oh my God. I was actually really shocked. But still, it was a good thing. I think it's a good thing to see your shadow, because people are often afraid to see their shadow. They always want to see the good things, always want to see beauty.
Shame is such a dark emotion. And I think so much of us are feeling ashamed when we have to face the darker sides of ourselves, but they exist in everybody. And they're such a source of compassion and understanding. There's roots in the darkness. Like the tree itself, the roots are in literally a dark place.
It is. And also that, again, back to you are not that. That is something that has happened to you, but it's like, it doesn't define you. And that's a nice thing to see as well.
It is a nice thing.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, this has been so great, Janice. I love that we're tapping into the shadow self and the seeing yourself clearly and all of these like big things about yoga that I think if you're not practicing yoga or you haven't, maybe you're new to the practice, maybe some of our listeners are just starting to get started, they're thinking, how can yoga teach me all that? And I think that I'm grateful that some of our listeners are tapping in and asking these questions probably internally if they don't know the answers, but they also can trust that it will come if you keep practicing. You will see things.
That's good. That's the beauty.
That is. Mm-hmm. So Janice, also, if some of our listeners have always dreamed of coming to Norway or dreamed of visiting Oslo, can you share with our listeners who also maybe don't know too much about Norway, just more about Norway in general?
Yeah, I have a lot of teachers coming to Norway from the States, actually, because I am a Yoga Works teacher and a teacher trainer. I do have a lot of contact with people from the States, and they also come to Norway to teach as well. Everyone that comes to Norway, what they are saying is that our air here, it's so fresh. You can actually taste the air. And it feels, it's almost like sweet. And people here are super friendly. We can see, it looks like we are, when Norwegian people, they can look a little like strict, but they are really friendly and they want to help if you are asking them about anything. That the only thing, the reason why we probably look a little strict is because it's very often cold here, I have to say. And then we are freezing. And that's the reason we are maybe looking a little like serious in our face. So we do have a beautiful summer here, and it's always hot and beautiful. And then you can see the beauty in, like, people here are like shining. Oh my God. Because we do have so much cold, is we are coming out. Like, it's kind of like, woohoo!
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. But I do think we probably have the most beautiful mountains. It's like fairy tales, not in Oslo. Oslo is a city. It is a city, but it's a really beautiful countryside in Norway. And you should come just to experience that. But you have to, if you come to Norway, you should have time, because we have so many different places to visit that is really beautiful.
Lovely. And if any of our listeners do want to get in touch with you, whether they want to come to one of your trainings or offerings, or if they have any questions, what's a good way for them to reach out?
They can actually go to either the email, or you can have the Instagram. So Instagram, we are always answering if someone takes contact there. We do have a lot of like international trainings or international teachers coming to our studio. So we do have a lot of people coming from the States and from different kind of countries around the world to just join our trainings, because we do, for example, Deskashar's son is coming to our studio, and we have different cool teachers from the States. There's so many, so I can't say everyone. But it's, we do have a lot of international teachers. So you should check out our Instagram and see, because probably have a cool teacher that you want to see or try to study with.
Oh, fantastic. And I will definitely tag your Instagram, Be Yoga Studio, in the show notes, and also on my website at wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Norway. So if any of their dear listeners want to just open the show notes, wherever you're listening to podcasts, click on the link, you'll find Janice that way. Or on the website, you'll also can follow along reading a transcription of this or read more about Janice as well. So thank you so much, Janice, for joining me today on the show. It's been such a joy to be with you.
Likewise. And I'm super duper happy that you're doing this. I think it's so cool that you are actually bringing all the teachers from all around the world. And it's like we are sharing something special So I'm super grateful for you. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Janice Strand, a yoga teacher from Norway, was so delightful as we talked about the psychology as actually a yoga philosophy and realizing that yoga is what we need to heal and process and gain an understanding of ourselves as we truly are. I hope that this conversation made you want to show up for yourself as yourself in the deepest and truest way possible. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about the big warnings that yoga should come with, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.